life. Psalms 34:19, if you'll turn with me. Here the Bible says, Psalms 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise the Lord. He's saying in this verse, yes, I will give you afflictions. Yes, I will give you trials, but praise the Lord, he will deliver them out from our lives. If we trust in him, not our own strength, for the Bible says over and over again, we will fail in our own strength. For God can use afflictions to restore us unto him if we're going astray. Now let's look at Psalm 71 verse 20 if you would. Psalm 71 verse 20. We'll look at another passage here reaffirming this point. Let's drive this home and let's understand that God is using these afflictions to restore us unto him. We serve a good God, and because of that he will do this in our life. Psalm 71 verse 20, the Bible says here, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Now I'm going to liken this verse to how a parent, if he does not show the rod, hates his child. Now if you look here closely with our verse here tonight, it says, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. It's not saying that the Lord is going to give you a trial and just leave you be. The Lord is never going to do that in your life. He has given us God's word, inspired, perfect, holy, and because of that, he has given us a way out of trials this evening. Let's understand this. Has shown me, and he's going to show you a way out, because he promises in his word he'll deliver us out of afflictions. He that speareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So let's look at another verse now in Hebrews 12 in the New Testament. Hebrews 12, if you turn with me now. We'll look at verses 6 and 7 tonight. Hebrews 12, verses 6 and 7. I praise the Lord for the opportunity. I know Pastor does not like giving up his pulpit at any point in time in Rotorua or Tito, so what a privilege it is once again to preach from God's word. But here we will see that we have a relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, let's look at verse 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Praise the Lord, if we are saved by grace today, we have a heavenly Father. And most of us together, I'm going to say we have parents. Amen. We have parents, and because of that, they disciplined us, they've chastened us, they've set boundaries, and so does God. And because we are likened to sheep, now and again we go astray. We try and trust in our own strength, whatever it may be. But let's understand from our main passage in Psalms 119 and verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. God will use afflictions in your life, if necessary, to bring you back to him. We understand this. Amen. Let's look at our next points in our main passage of Psalm 119 now. Psalm 119, verse 68. Now is our next point. Psalms 119, verse 68. We understand that we have afflictions to be restored, but now he wants to restore us because of verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. I have been afflicted because we serve a good God. Amen. Turn with me to Exodus 18, if you would. We'll look at verses 9 and 10. Exodus 18, verses 9 and 10. For some reason, preaching in Rotorua is a lot more scary. Maybe the people are a lot more scary. You can answer that question for yourself. But we'll look at Exodus 18 now. We'll look at verses 9 to 10. Here we will see that God is good, that he will deliver us. Exodus 18, we will look at verses 9 and 10. Here the Bible says, and Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord. Our God is good, and he promises that he will deliver us. Here we understand Moses did not believe Pharaoh would listen to him. However, the Lord said he would deliver his people. Read here with me, Exodus 18, 9 to 10 again. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done. Blessed be the Lord. God is good that he will deliver us. Now, we could talk about God's goodness all night, but for time's purposes, we will not. But let's look at another reason that we have God's goodness. Let's look at Romans 2:4 now, if you would, with me. One of the ways that he will deliver us, and is the most simple and basic truth, and why we assemble together on a regular basis, is because that he will deliver us for repentance. Let's look at Romans chapter 2, and let's look at verses 4. Romans 2 and verses 4. Here the Bible says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Praise the Lord, today we have repentance, amen. We can be saved by grace. Now, this is not only talking about repentance in a salvation base, but it's also talking about we have repentance in Jesus Christ. We can come before our Savior and bring a request towards him, and one of the ways is asking for forgiveness. He is just and right to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have been afflicted because God is good. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 now. We'll understand this point once again. He's good to deliver us, and because of that, he has given us repentance. We serve a good God, and he promises that he will guide us. 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at verses 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, now looking in verse 9. I think this is the right verse. Let's have a look. "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." That's probably why it's not making sense. Thank you, Pastor. I'm in 1 Peter. So we'll look at 2 Peter now. A great verse. 2 Peter 3, 9 now. This is what I was meaning to say. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." All should come to repentance. Our God is good. He not just offers salvation to just a few people, the good people, the Māori people, the James people. He offers it to everyone. Amen. I can see everyone is awake. I see a laugh. Okay. Multiple time in God's word, he promises goodness to his servants now. Let's look at another example. 2 Samuel 7 now, if you would, with me. 2 Samuel 7:28. We're shortly after the Davidic covenant, a great passage in the Bible, talking about how our Messiah would come from David's line. 2 Samuel 7:28 with me this evening. And let's hope I get the right one this time. 2 Samuel 7:28, here the Bible says, "And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant." After the Davidic covenant, praise the Lord, David is saying, "You have promised me goodness, O dear Lord." If we are a servant of Jesus Christ, the Lord promises goodness towards you. That's a big blessing that we can rest upon. Chronicles 17:26, the Bible says, "And now, Lord, thou art God and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant." The Lord will bring afflictions into our life because he is a good God. And we'll see in our next point how he proves himself, how he is a good God. Let's look in our main passage of Psalm 119 once again. We'll see our next point in verse 70, Psalms 119, and we'll look at verse 70 now. Here we will see what this chapter is all about. "Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." Turn with me to a verse we all know of by heart, Psalms 1:2. Psalms 1:2. We probably don't even need to turn there, but a wonderful verse that we can rest upon and that we should take literally. Psalms chapter 1, looking at verse 2 now. Here the Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So this is covering two points, amen. Verse 2, it says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord." The Lord brings afflictions into our life, one of the reasons is so we can be happy to be in his word. I do not know about you personally, but for me, when I'm in the middle of a trial, I'm in God's word a little bit more. Why? Because I want to rest upon the promises that I can find in his word. I want to be in his word. my safe place, into my prayer closet. We can meditate on the word, but what does it say? Day and night, on a regular basis, not just on a Sunday, not just on a Wednesday night, not just on a Sunday night. It should be day and night, every single day, delighting in the law of the Lord. But one of the ways and one of the reasons why God brings afflictions in our life is so we'll be happy to be in his word. Let's look now at our main passage of Psalm 119. We could honestly stay here all night. This chapter is a wonderful chapter talking about God's word. But we'll just look at a few verses, pick out a few verses which spoke to me in Psalms 119. We'll look at verse 16 of Psalms 119. Here the Bible says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And I love verse 92, if you'd turn with me, just probably a page over. Verse 92, here the Bible says, unless thy law had been my delight, I should have then have perished in mine affliction. I should have perished in mine affliction. If we are not in God's word, in the middle of trials, sometimes it can seem we cannot bear it because we're trying to do it in our own strength. Sometimes it seems so big, we understand there's four different areas that the Lord can use trials and afflictions in our life. I can see past the smirking now, but we won't go over those tonight. We know these off by heart already. But if we were not in God's word, we should have perished. Here we understand that we should be happy to be in God's word. When we truly meditate upon this verse and understand that we should desire to be in God's word. Let's look back now in Psalms. Let's look at 19 now. Psalms 19, verse 7 to 8. This is one of our scripture songs, so we should all know it off by heart. What happened to our scripture songs? We should bring those back. They're coming back. There we go. Psalms 19, we'll look at verses 7 and 8 this evening. Here the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect. God's word is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. God's word, we can be sure upon it, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, when you read that verse and rest and meditate upon it, look at all the truths that you can find in it. We should desire to be in God's word. Look why it's pure. We should be able to delight in it. We can have enlightenment. I always hear the saying, oh, I've looked at that verse 10 times and I've just picked out something different. Why? Because God can do that. We should delight to be in God's word. And because of afflictions, we should delight in his word. And because of that, moving on to our next point of 71 of Psalms 119. Psalms 119. As I've been studying under Pastor, he does short messages and so do I. We'll look at Psalms 119. We'll look at verse 71 tonight. Psalms 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I have been afflicted, so I will learn God's word. Let's look in 2 Timothy 3:16, if you would, with me tonight. A great reminder of the power of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll look in verse 16 this evening. 2 Timothy 3, looking in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We should desire to learn God's word, especially in trials, because of these reasons. It's profitable for teaching the truths found in God's word. Pardon me, I'm recovering after a big lunch in Tito. It is to be used to instruct people to know God better. Second, scripture is profitable for reproof or rebuke, the idea of exposing or pointing out our sin. Third, scripture is useful for correction. Scripture both points out sin and offers a solution to it. And fourth, scripture is profitable for training in righteousness or in practical application. We understand that God's word will work in our lives. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I pray this verse would answer our question here and how God will work in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For the Bible says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Effectually worketh. God's word can do a work in your life if you allow it and if you are in it. God's word cannot do anything in your life if you're not reading God's word, if you're not in it, and especially in trials. You'll find yourself needing God that bit more, and especially in afflictions and trials. I love the picture of Job and how we've been studying through him, but let's look at now another verse, Colossians 3:16-17. Colossians 3:16-17, another verse which we all know of by heart, and if we do not, I would encourage you to memorize it. A verse, a very powerful verse, looking at Colossians 3:16-17 now. I've been afflicted that I may learn God's word. Learning requires you being in God's word. Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Dwell, or to abide, or be in, however you want to say it, means it should continually be in us, and we should continually be in God's word. And you will see in the middle of trials, you'll want to learn God's word a bit more. Pastor always mentions scripture typer, and now I'm finally using it on a regular basis, and I praise the Lord for this simple app. But we should always be in God's word. The Holy Spirit can bring out these verses in the most perfect times. We're in the middle of trials, whatever it may be, and the Holy Spirit will bring out that verse which you needed at that specific time. I have been afflicted, so I will learn God's word. Psalms 119 now. We'll look at our next verse of 72, our next point, where the Bible says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. I have been afflicted because God's word is precious. Now, Pastor preached on this not too long ago, but let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Let's just look at a few reasons of why God's word is so precious to us. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll look at verses 8 tonight. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Here the Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God's word will stand. That is one of the reasons God's word should be so precious to us. We understand this because of John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. With God, and the word was God. God's word is precious because it will stand. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's word is precious because it is preserved, it is complete. Turn with me if you would, Psalms 119, we'll look at verse 160. Psalms 119, verse 160. Here the Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's word is preserved and it will stand. We understand this. That is one of the reasons that God will bring afflictions into our life. So we will realize how precious his word is. When everything's going right, the blessings seem to be pouring out and our life is perfect, it seems, that's when the trial hits. And that's when we need God the most, because we think we can trust in ourselves. We think that we can do all things, but we understand that we can only do all things through Jesus Christ. We need him in everything, and where will we find him? In his word. We should be seeking his face every day. 2 Peter 1:19-21, if you turn your Bibles with me. Here we'll just reassure this truth. 2 Peter 1:19-21. Here the Bible says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy God. We understand that the word of God that we read from is the preserved and perfect holy word, and I believe that is one of the reasons that we understand that God's word is perfect, and that God's word is, that we should be in God's word all the time, especially in afflictions. Verse 73 now of our main passage of 119. Just a few more verses to look at, a few more points. I do understand we do have the Lord's Supper this evening. Verse 73 now, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. I have been afflicted because God made me. God made me. Let's look at Jeremiah 1:5, a verse which I'm sure we all know. Here we'll just remind ourselves that the Savior we serve knew us before our parents knew us. Jeremiah 1:5. Here the Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So we understand he knew us. We are his. So let's turn to Revelation 5:13 now, please. We'll see that we are created for his glory. Revelation 5 and verse 13. Revelation 5, looking at verse 13. Here the Bible says, and every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. We understand that God knew us, he created us, and now we understand that we are created for his glory. So let's turn over to 1 Peter 1:7 now. 1 Peter 1:7. Here we'll see that because God knew us, he created us, and we are created for his glory, and that through the afflictions that we face, he will be glorified. We understand that we were put on this earth to glorify a holy God. Let's look at now this verse. Here the Bible says, if I can find it. Who wants to read that for me? Amen. This is like into Sunday school now. Everyone's going to be involved. But, moving on, we are created for God's glory. And one of the ways that God will be glorified is through our afflictions. How we respond to these afflictions, how we come out of them. And because of our whole conversation, where we can say to our brothers and sisters in Christ, look at what the Lord did in my life and look how he brought me out of this affliction. I did not know personally how he would do it, but praise the Lord, he did it. I have been afflicted because God made me and because he will be glorified in the affliction. Verse 74 now, these points are very similar, but they have a lot of power in them. There's 8 different words used to describe God's word in our main passage of Psalms 119, and they're mentioned in all of these verses. But now we'll look at this next point. I have hoped in thy word. I have been afflicted, so I will hope in God's word. We don't even need to turn there, but Hebrews 4:12. I love this verse. It is mentioned in our church so much because it is so true. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We have hope that God's word is alive or quick, as the word of God is our living Savior. And because we serve a living and powerful God, his word promises to quicken or make us alive. Turn with me back to our main passage of Psalm 119. We'll just look at a few verses now. We'll pick out a few verses of Psalm 119. We'll look at verse 50 and we'll look at verse 107. Psalm 119, starting in verse 50, and then we'll flick over to verse 107. Here the Bible says, This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And now flick over to 107. Here it says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Pardon me. Now, if we look out throughout 119 Psalms, we understand that these verses are throughout the entire chapter. We can understand that God's word has the power to be quick and to be alive, and that God's word can work in our life, and that we will have hope in God's word during afflictions. Let's look at verse 105 now. Verse 105 of 119. Another reason we can have hope in God's word is because it will direct us. We understand this. We sing this song on Sunday mornings. I might mention this next week because of that. Psalms 119, 105. Here the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're pointing out simple truths that we all understand, Christian, but as we've been studying through Job, we understand that the Lord will use afflictions in our lives for certain reasons. He's not going to do it because he likes seeing how we react to them. Well, in effect, actually, he does. He wants to see us react, as in we serve a powerful God, and because of that, he made us. And now because of that, we can have hope in his word. We can have hope in his word. And we will jump to our last point of 75 now. 119:75, as we're already in this chapter, as we finish off tonight, a simple and short message about afflictions. Psalms 119:75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Turn with me to Job 1:8. Job 1:8, if you would, with me. We studied this many times in the past several months, but Job 1:8. Here we review what we've looked at. Job 1:8. Job 1:8. Here the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? You see, God knew Job, and that through these afflictions he will continue to glorify the God who created him. And he understood that God's judgments are right. Now carry on with me, if you would, a few verses down, Job 1:21-22 now. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I love this verse. Because it was mentioned recently by Pastor to me about how he's done a work in his life personally. And I love this verse a lot more now as well. But let's look at this verse. He understood God's faithfulness. He understood that throughout all the afflictions, we understand the story of Job. He lost his family, he lost his health, his wealth, everything possible. How would we react to that, Christian? We're here. Job reacted and said, I'll praise his name. That should be our attitude towards trials, because God's judgments are right and he is faithful to bring afflictions in our life. We'll look at just one last verse this evening in 1 Peter 5 now. 1 Peter 5. We'll look at verse 10. This was the passage I was going to preach on this evening, but after the Lord's leading, he led me to this passage of Psalm 119. But a well-known passage to us once again of 1 Peter 5. We'll look at verse 10 and shortly we will close. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll look at verse 10 tonight. Here the Bible says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. These are memory verses that we all know, Christian. We're just highlighting these points once again to understand why God puts afflictions in our life, as we've been studying the book of Job, as we've been studying Job himself. Let's understand tonight, Christian, God doesn't put our afflictions in our life just to see us squirm. He has reasons for these afflictions, and as we understand Psalms 119, as it is about God's word, he may use afflictions in your life to bring you back to him. to have restoration. He will use afflictions because our God, He is good. His judgments are right and He is faithful to us. And because of that, we will delight in His word. We should be happy to be in God's word in afflictions. Because of that, we will want to learn God's word. And because of that, we'll have hope in God's word. And because of that, we'll find His word precious. Afflictions, we may not want them, but we need them. We understand that because of Psalms 119 and because of Job. How will we answer to afflictions, Christian? Are we going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Or is it going to take afflictions to bring us back to Him when we have gone astray? Let's close in a word of prayer this evening.